Hello, and welcome to episode 57 of Cavalytics. Cavalytics is a show about the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers with a special focus on statistical analysis. For our new listeners, that may seem a little dry, but I promise it's not as painful as it sounds. The Cavs have just come back from a 26-point second-half deficit to defeat the Indiana Pacers 119-114. They now have a commanding 3-0 lead in their series against the Indiana Pacers. I am Keith Carter, a typically pessimistic Cavs fan living in San Francisco. Typically, I have a co-host, but the usual suspects are unavailable tonight, so it's just me. I was actually planning on skipping the show today, and that notion was all but cemented after the Cavs looked like they were sleepwalking out there in the first half. But then LeBron, forcing me to reconsider. So here I am. You can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cavalyticsnba. We like hearing from you guys, and I endeavor to respond to everything I receive at both of those places. So yeah, if you want to have some participation in the show, yeah, please feel free. So I'm not exactly how to do a solo show, so I think I will just sort of summarize the game and go through the box score and give some of my thoughts. And it was an unbelievable game, so hopefully that will be compelling enough so that people don't turn off. So like I said, the Cavs won by five. They were down, let's see, the trough was they were down 26 early in the third quarter. At halftime, the Yale Sports Analytics Group said the Cavs had a 99.4% chance to lose the game. Inpredictable, which is another one of these services that basically give live win probabilities. I think the trough there was the Cavs had a 98% chance to lose. And somehow they came back. It was mostly on the back of LeBron James. LeBron had 41 points. 13 rebounds, 12 assists. He had only three turnovers and no turnovers in the second half. He had a steal. He had two blocks. He was just absolutely incredible tonight. The 26-point comeback is the largest in NBA postseason history. I think they are tied with two other teams. The last team, I think they said on the broadcast, was the 2012 Grizzlies. Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of unbelievable. And you have to believe that the morale of the Pacers now is just sort of absolutely crushed. On a night when Kyrie Irving shot 4 of 17 and his plus-minus was minus 17, Kevin Love was 4 of 12 and was basically a big old zero out there. And they still couldn't win. The series is probably over. Game four is Sunday afternoon, and I fully expect the Cavs to win this game. I think before tonight's game, I thought the Cavs had about a 70% chance of winning tonight and commensurately a 70% chance to win on Sunday. I now think they probably have about an 80% chance of winning on Sunday. So hopefully this is a sweep and the Cavs can get some rest going into their second round series. And for now, it looks like they might be playing the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are about to wrap up a blowout of the Raptors, so they'll have a 2-1 lead. And yeah, looks like it might be the Bucks. I think the Bucks actually present some matchup problems for the Cavs, but we'll get to that when the time comes. The second half comeback was unusual because it was without Love and Irving playing. I pulled up the lineup numbers. NBA.com now updates their lineups about 15 minutes after game, so it's just become available. So, yeah, the dominant second half lineup was Channing Frye, Kyle Korver, Iman Shumpert, Deron Williams, and LeBron James. They were plus nine in 10 minutes. There was another lineup with James, Love, Smith, Thompson, and Williams. They got some second half run. And then another lineup with Frye, Jefferson, Korver, Shumpert, and James. And Yeah, you might notice that none of those lineups have Kyrie Irving in them. Irving was terrible in the first half. He kept shooting regardless. I actually tweeted this in the middle of the game. I don't believe in hot and cold streaks. Hot and cold streaks you can always see in retrospect, but in prospect, let's say somebody's made four threes in a row. It's typical to say they're on fire, but the probability of the next shot going in actually is no higher than it typically is. So like I don't believe in hot streaks, I also don't believe in cold streaks. So I was conceptually okay with Irving continuing to shoot, but he never did snap out of his slump. And he finished the game, minus 17, and was really not very good. On the other side of that was Deron Williams. Deron Williams only took one shot. It was a three. He made it. He took two free throws as well, but he was plus 17. And he played 22 minutes to Irving's 27. And he was really a huge part of the Cavs comeback. I will be interested to hear. I was going to listen to the postgame conferences, press conferences, but they weren't available on NBA TV because they're showing another game. So I'll watch those after I finish this cast. But I'll be interested to hear what Tyronn Lue has to say about benching Irving for the entire fourth quarter and a good portion of the third quarter as well. You can imagine there being a little bit of a brouhaha brewing there. Hopefully they say the right thing, which is, look, the lineup that made the comeback continued to play well. And look, the Cavs were down 26 in the third quarter. By the time it was time to bring Irving back in, the game was sort of decided. I was a little bit surprised, even at the very end of the game. The Cavs won by five, so there was, you know, a good 60, 70, 80 seconds of, you know, garbage free throw time where the Pacers would make a shot, then they'd foul somebody. During that time, Lou did not put in Irving or Kevin Love. So, and remember, Irving is a 91% free throw shooter. Kevin Love is 86, 87%. So, yeah, not having the team's two best free throw shooters, well, I guess Korver's good. Not having two of the team's three best free throw shooters out there is a little bit odd. And it almost felt like there was some sort of something going on there. But yeah, again, I haven't heard the postgame press conferences, so we'll have to see. Let's see, what else happened? Paul George was, again, just terrific. He had 36 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 turnover. He was not so great from the field, 10 of 28, but he did have 11 free throws and 5 threes. So his true shooting percentage will be quite good. And I feel bad for him. You have to wonder if the game Sunday will be his last game in a Pacers uniform. I'm not sure what he could have done better this series. It's just been too little from the other guys. Miles Turner had an incredible first half. I think he made his first three shots. He had a vicious, vicious dunk that would have been probably on all the highlight shows tonight, if not for what LeBron James did in the second half. Miles Turner was 3 of 12, 6 points, and only 5 rebounds in 30 minutes. And he's just not, at this point in his career, he's not an effective player. Thad Young had a nice game. He had 14 rebounds. 10 of those were offensive. There were some stretches in the second half when the Cavs were playing these small lineups without Love and without Thompson, where they really struggled to rebound and were giving up bushels of offensive rebounds to the Pacers, but it didn't matter. The Pacers just couldn't hit water if they fell into it. And it sort of created a situation where even though the Cavs were inept rebounding, they were still able to come back. They outscored the Pacers 35-17 in the third quarter. They outscored them 35-23 in the fourth quarter. For those of you counting at home, that means that the Cavs gave up only 40 second half points. That is particularly of note because they gave up 74 first half points. And I should probably admit this or come clean on this. So at halftime, I tweeted that I think that defensive effort is something that can be turned on and off. So in other words, you can play the regular season without trying on average very hard on defense. And when the playoffs hit, you can suddenly start trying. What you can't turn on and off is the muscle memory and good habits that form by playing good defense throughout the year. So as the Cavs have stepped up their intensity in these playoff games, and they have, I think they're still not at 100%, but they're at a solid 85-90. They have turned up their intensity, but they still have some bad habits. Irving struggles getting around screens. J.R. Smith has still looked completely lost at times, and it's been frustrating to watch that. And the first half of today's game was really, really probably the, well, hopefully will be the bottom of that. The Cavs gave up 74 points. The Pacers were just, no matter what they tried, it seemed to work, and it was frustrating to watch. I still have profound concerns about the Cavs as they head into tougher opponents. And, you know, they're not going to be able to do the thing where they give up 74 points and a half and get down 26 points and come back. The Pacers are sort of a little bit listless. Once the Cavs initiated their comeback, the Pacers just completely abandoned their offense and made a bunch of mistakes. And it turns out that even a playoff team, the Cavs can sort of coast against and still paper over their mistakes with good play in second halves. But yeah, that's not going to work. And my concern is that the Cavs will step up their effort to 100%, but their defensive ceiling is just sort of low because they don't have the personnel to play good defense, and they certainly don't have the habits. So that's something to keep an eye on. But, you know, it's just sort of hard to know because the Cavs still aren't trying their hardest, and their opponent is still not good enough to really sort of force them to be on their best behavior. So it's tough to know. Should probably also give some laudatory praise to Tyronn Lue tonight. Not playing Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving for much of the second half took some serious stones. It was working, so it doesn't take the sort of It wasn't that hard to keep going with what was working. Like, that is the default trajectory, and it was working, and it was working so well that it, you know, certainly most coaches would probably consider sticking with it. But Luce did still stick with it, and he somehow found a lineup that was able to claw back the lead. So, yeah, he deserves some praise there. And for all the complaining about Lue's weird lineup tinkering and the various things he's tried, I think that, you know, tonight is a night that he deserves some credit there. LeBron's performance tonight saves Kyrie, Kevin, and Tristan's records of zero first-round playoff losses. That was looking like it was in peril, but LeBron pulled it out. And Kevin Love has still not lost an Eastern Conference playoff game played in North America. That is one of the, or sorry, played in the United States, because the only two games he's lost were at Toronto, and that was in last year's playoffs. So that's a little bit of an esoteric streak, but just a couple other things on the box score tonight. Kyle Korver finally pulled out of his, I guess, I don't know exactly what to call it, his first two-game funk. He made 4 threes tonight. He had 12 points, and yeah, he shot 4 of 5. He also had 2 steals, including a big one late. He still finished -3. I did notice this week that Kyle Korver, by real plus-minus, was one of the worst. I can't remember if they list him as a shooting guard or a small forward, but he's one of the worst ones in the league. And his defensive RPM is really, really bad. I want to dig into that a little bit more. Korver has been playing a lot in lineups that feature LeBron without Irving or Love. And I think he's getting a little bit punished for that by RPM's algorithms. And I think also that Korver has been in the lineups that start the fourth quarter, and the Cavs have had a lot of games where that they've been up big starting the fourth quarter, and they've let teams claw back. Now, look, partially that is Korver's fault. He's been on the floor during those times when teams have gone on runs. But yeah, I'm not sure exactly why he's consistently putting up negatives in the plus-minus department. If anyone has any theories on that, I'd be interested in hearing them. But he was terrific offensively, 4 of 7 from the field, and all four makes were threes. Fry was also excellent. Channing Fry was +12. He had 13 points on 4 of 7 from the field. He made 2 threes. He was asked to rebound quite a bit in the second half. He was the tallest guy on the Cavs lineup. He is still not a good rebounder. I mentioned this on Twitter in the middle of the game. When Fry was younger, he used to be basically a top 10 pick in fantasy basketball because his combination of three-pointers made and qualifying at center made him sort of a unicorn. In any case, I always used to wonder why he didn't play, you know, 35, 37 minutes a game because his contribution just seemed so good. I think I now understand that he can't rebound. And on most teams, if you've got a guy who's 6'11 and can't really guard bigs and can't really guard wings or guards, it makes it so that you need to sort of construct a lineup specifically around him. And the Cavs are able to do that. The Cavs do have that kind of personnel. Namely, they have LeBron James, who can sort of paper over some of Channing Frye's issues. But in any case, Frye was terrific tonight. And I'd like to see that continue. Iman Shumpert played 14 minutes. He did not take a shot, and he had four fouls. But he played good defense on Paul George once again. I did notice that in his possessions on Paul George in game two, Paul George was 0 of 5. I'll be curious to see how he did tonight. But it's been a little bit of a revelation to see Iman Shumpert play good defense in the playoffs after all the hand-wringing that went on about why he was such a bad defensive player during the regular season. Maybe he has, I was joking in the last show that, yeah, maybe he's flipped some sort of switch and is now a new player. I don't think that's really true, but maybe he was coasting defensively and now he is, you know, fully engaged and able to, you know, perform at a new level. So I think that's about it for things that are notable about the box score here. This has been a short show tonight, but yeah, it's a little tricky when I'm by myself. So hopefully this was at least somewhat compelling to listen to. Again, you can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cavalyticsnba. And yeah, please reach out to us. We will definitely be doing a show after Sunday's game, and hopefully we will be celebrating a Cavs sweep of the Pacers. Thanks for listening. And